Yeah, huge thanks to Stevie G there. Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour with all the latest news from around the Rebel County as well as further afield. We'll be getting on to the Six Nations a little later on. But while not sport necessarily, a huge congrats to all the Cork winners last night at the IFTAs, with Anna Hardwick winning Best Lead Actor and Christy winning Best Film. But in my other job, Joe.E, the lads there caught up with Steve Coogan on the red carpet, and he had this to say about people criticising Saipan for not being 100% accurate.
Whenever you make a movie about real life, you'll have someone who comes along and goes, I didn't wear shoes that colour. My jumper was brown, not green. No one gives a flying. It's a story. When you tell a story, you're not making a documentary. You're trying to encapsulate a feeling, encapsulate the spirit of a story, and you use artistic license. That's perfectly legitimate. But telling the story of Saipan, if you tell things exactly as they happened, it'd be a very long, boring film.
And speaking of Cork football, well, kind of anyway, and Cork City had a 4-1 win over Wexford last night. Sounds great, but look, it is the first division, as if we don't need a reminder. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves on this one. But great to see Hans and Pongo get through, get a goal. He took it brilliantly in the top corner. And of course, Rory Keating getting himself a goal as well. And Seanan Maguire, not to be outdone, scoring a brace for himself. And if you're keeping an eye on Cork City this year, be sure to keep an eye out for Killian Murphy. No, not that one. I know we were just talking about the IFTAs. But at just 16 years old, Joe seems to be an incredible player, driving this Cork City midfield forward, this first division, when we don't have many players and options that can do that for us at the moment. To chat about the game, let's hear now from Cork City manager Barry Robson out in Wexford.
Barry, 4 goals, 3 points, you must be happy overall with that?
Yeah, I thought we were excellent. First 25 minutes, we played really well. I thought we were fast in our play, we were aggressive, scored two really good goals. And then for maybe a 10-15 minute period, we kind of came off the gas a wee bit. But then, second half came, and I thought the pitch got really difficult, and I thought we managed that well, and kind of hindered us with the speed we wanted to play at. But no, I think credit to the players. But the way the pitch was, I think we played some really good stuff there as well.
As you said, 4 goals, but one of them was the first for Hans Pongo, his first Cork City goal. What a way to take it.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable finish, and really working with Hans since we've came in, and trying to improve and make him better, and he listens to everything you're saying. He's getting better and better all the time, and listen, he was excellent. He was a constant threat tonight.
90 minutes for Killian Murphy after the cameo at the cross last week. He kind of forced you to play him tonight.
No, he never forced me. I'm always mindful. But for the minute I've came in here, and I know he's just in the door, the minute I came in here, he impressed me. I think over the last 3 or 4 weeks with the training that we've gave him has really helped him, improved him. But he's got that natural ability, and yeah, he'll keep his feet in the ground, and I thought he played really well at times tonight, and he deserved to play for the 90 minutes. But I'm also mindful of making sure that he's alright and looking after him. But I'll tell you what, he's a tough kid.
Just a quick word on the travelling crowd tonight, singing for 90 minutes. I suppose the message now is do it again at Turner's Cross next Friday, get a big crowd in for the next home game.
Yeah, but there's some of them out there tonight. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. Outstanding. It shows you how big a club this club is, and it shows you the support we've got. And listen, they help. They were brilliant there tonight, and that's what we need. So hopefully we'll have them there for all the weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, and hopefully there'll be a big crowd in the Cross next Friday when we take on the mighty Bray Wanderers. So it's good to be back in the First Division once more. Not sure how many Winter Olympic fans out there that we have in Cork, but look, history made last night. Ireland's Ben Lynch finished 8th in the Winter Olympic Free Ski Halfpipe Final, bit of a mouthful, after becoming the first Irish skier ever to qualify for Winter Olympics Final. One of Ireland's top 3 Winter Olympic performances of all time, an unforgettable achievement and a massive moment for Ben. And I was lucky enough to speak to the man 2 weeks ago.
Well, look, we're delighted to be joined here with Ben. Ben, how's the atmosphere, and is it a Winter Olympic village?
Of course, yeah, it's actually snowing here right now, so yeah, it's super snowy here. Everyone's happy, and we all got our kits on, we got our swag. The opening ceremony is tomorrow, so I'm really excited for that.
And the Irish swag you're wearing, what's the best thing you got? How much gear do you get as an Olympian?
We got quite a lot. We got a whole duffel bag. It's actually surprising it all fits in the bag for the how much of stuff we got. I got two winter jackets. I got multiple different types of jackets, like puffy jackets, down jackets, shirts, you name it. I got shoes, backpacks. It's pretty cool. I got a full gym workout kit. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff. And then my favorite would be the Aran jumper. We got an Aran jumper. It's kind of like a knit jumper from, it's made in Ireland too, so that's definitely my favorite.
Oh, you have one of those Aran jumpers that
Yeah.
like the knitted one that they give to all the tourists get. Keep you
Yeah,
warm, I
exactly. The Aran
suppose.
jumper. Yeah, it's my favorite.
How often do you get to come back to Ireland then?
I haven't been since I was, I think, 12 years old, actually, because I travel so much for skiing and there's no skiing in Ireland. But yeah, I went when I was 12 and I'm really excited to go after the Olympics. The Irish team is going to fly all of us out to Dublin and we're all going to get to go hang out with everybody. I'm going to get to see a lot of my relatives that I haven't seen in quite a while, so I'm excited.
And relative wise, where are your relative bases? I know your dad is some. It was a Dubliner. Is it Dublin or is it further afield as well?
Yeah, he's a Dubliner and he goes to Ireland all the time. He has properties out there and tons of family. He goes back and forth often to check on his properties and his tenants and whatnot. But yeah, for me, I'm already traveling so much for skiing. We do a lot of traveling and it's already pretty heavy for me to also go to Ireland. It's tough to make it out there, but I'm really excited to go and yeah, reconnect with old family relatives and stuff like that.
Brilliant stuff. And why Ireland? Why compete for Ireland?
Well, obviously, it's an honor. I mean, I was born in Dublin, and even though a lot has happened since then, and I moved to Canada at a very young age, it's still quite an honor to represent the country I was born in, and a lot of my family is from as well. So, yeah.
Do you feel like a unique sense of Irishness from your perspective?
For sure, yeah. There's a lot of pride that goes into it, and I think I have really strong Irish heritage and ties, and even though, I don't have the accent or anything like that, I still feel like, a Paddy. Like my dad says, there's no hiding that. I am Irish and I'm very excited to be representing Ireland in the Olympics.
And how did the whole Vancouver thing come about? What was the reason for moving in the first place? And yeah, how have you gone on since then?
I believe we moved to Vancouver just to visit family. A couple of our relatives on my mom's side lived there and then ended up just staying because I guess my parents really liked it. I love the skiing, obviously. I grew up right next to the ski mountain. It's called Grouse Mountain. It was 5 minutes from my house. And so that's where I really started to get into skiing more full time.
And obviously, it's a pretty daunting sport. Look, and my light research I've done, I'm far from an expert. I'm hoping you could tell me more about it. But it seems like a pretty daunting sport what you're going out there and doing.
Yeah, it's pretty daunting. I mean, it's kind of, I'm used to it because I started out on a trampoline. So I started out doing the flips and all that, and I was very into trampolining. We had a trampoline in my backyard. So it was a pretty natural switch to skiing because that was what I already enjoyed doing, was flipping and spinning and doing the whole aerial side of it. So it was a very natural switch, and I think it's also come naturally from a young age. I've always been okay with that risk side of it, and that's what I find fun about the sport.
Are you able to turn off that sense of, oh crap, there's danger here, element in your brain? Or how is it just over time that you're just able to get rid of that?
No, I mean, it's always there. Like, it's always scary. It's just how you deal with that fear. Like, it's not like I just don't experience fear, Like, I've talked to some of the best guys and I asked them in half pipe, like, is it ever not scary? And they're like, no, you get really used to it and you get comfortable with it, like experiencing that fear. And after a while, you just get used to it. Yeah.
Have you had any bad injuries from the sport?
Yeah, I broke my left collarbone twice. That was when I back when I skied slopestyle. I broke it about a year and a half apart. I broke it in the same place. Other than that, I've had some minor head hits. Knock on wood, I haven't had any like bad knockout concussions, but hoping to keep it that way, obviously. And I broke the orbit bone in my face, which was a gnarly one. I couldn't see straight for like a month after that. And then, yeah, this knee strain has been just, and it's not the worst injury, it's just really bad timing. Like I heard it right at the beginning of the season in a training camp, and then I've just been kind of dealing with it throughout the comp season. So yeah.
You were mentioning the trampoline thing there. Is that how all people start off skiing for the flips and stuff, or is it just was it your own method to get there?
That's a good question. I think a lot of kids who are really good in slopestyle start out trampolining. I think it goes hand in hand. Like the flips are the same and the axes are the same, although it is quite different when you have the weight of the skis on your feet, obviously. But I find a lot of the kids who are the best in freestyle start out on a trampoline.
Triple crack the egg in a trampoline.
Yeah, I used to play that.
That's the point that of my training on a trampoline.
Yeah, crack the egg is a funny one.
Look, I know you're saying you consider yourself Irish, or you're going to be proud to represent your country of birth. Did the Olympic Council get on to you? Did you get on to them? How did that come together, we'd say?
That's a good question. I think I first introduced myself to the Irish team back, would have been a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago. I just sent them an email and I was like, hey guys, I am Irish. I was born in Ireland. I have the nationality. And they were instantly very helpful. And they were like, yeah, we're putting a team together and we'd love to have you. There was obviously some qualification. I had to come up with, a letter of why I wanted to switch. I had the passport already, so that was great. But it was more than just like, oh, you're Irish. Like, here you go. Like, you also have to, because there's no real Irish team. So I had to arrange my own coach. His name's Rex, and I ski with him now. I was on the Canadian development team before, and switching over to kind of find my own coach and go my own way independently was a little scary, I guess. But yeah, it's worked out really well. So
brilliant stuff. Have you met the other Irish athletes? I presume you're all kind of traveling together as one, are you?
Yes. So there's two alpine skiers and one cross country skier, and we all met in Bolzano, Italy, before the games, because there's four different athlete villages this time in this Olympics. The first time they've ever done it this way. And we were all in different athlete villages. So we got kind of unlucky on that front, but it was nice to meet the guys in Bolzano and then before we dispersed into our different training facilities.
Yeah, perfect. I'm sure you get to meet them after as well in Dublin anyway, when you get to go here. How exactly. Do you think, as a nation like Ireland, we can grow a winter sport? Is that impossible? I know Cormac, there's a downhill, or a dry ski slope. That's how easy we use training in Wicklow. Is there any way, as a nation, we can try and grow winter sports here?
I think it would be tough. I know it's definitely not, I guess, intertwined into the Irish culture by any means, and I'm well aware of that. But I mean, we're seeing more and more of it. There's an indoor snow park in Japan, and they maintain a half pipe. And I think it's a full 20-foot half pipe, completely indoors, completely man-made snow and everything. So it's possible, and I guess never say never, right?
How does it feel to be an Olympian in general, Ben? Like that's something you'll always have known for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it feels pretty cool. It's definitely a surreal feeling still. It doesn't really feel real, but I'm very honored to be here. And obviously to have that opportunity to do it for Ireland as well is pretty cool. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So
if you could imagine a moment, I don't know, have you allowed yourself to imagine the moment where Aronovy and the anthem is playing and there's a gold medal going around your neck? Like you said, that's just the ultimate goal for you. What do you hope to get out of this Olympics?
I definitely would like to strive for a medal, but I'm just going to go out there and ski my best, have some fun, and do what I do best. I've been, skiing all season, and I would just be really happy to come out with a solid result. If I can make finals even, that would be huge for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's actually, you're not until, a week and a half from now, so you've a lot of time to prepare as well.
Yeah, I have quite a lot of time to prepare, and my team's going to Corvatsch on the 8th day or so in 3 days. So I'm really excited for that. Knee's feeling good. We're going to train there. There's a half pipe in Corvatsch, Switzerland, that we're going to train at. And then we're going to come back into the village, official training, then we compete on the 19th. So yeah, it's about 2 weeks away. Yeah.
Are family coming over from Vancouver to support you?
Yeah, my parents are coming, and a bunch of relatives from Ireland are coming. So obviously that's a little nerve-wracking, but I'm pretty excited that they're all going to be there, because they don't often get to see me compete. It's kind of hard to get out to the venues a lot of the time because, I mean, it's on a mountain, so it's hard. But yeah, it's going to be cool having them there and, you know, cheering me on at the bottom. I'm sure it'll be thrilling.
What have they been saying to you? I'm sure they're very proud.
Yeah, there's a lot of like messages I'm getting from my family. They're very proud. It's kind of crazy how the Olympics come up and all of a sudden there's all this attention on you because the Olympics, just from like an outsider point of view, is such a big deal. Whereas a lot of the competitions I compete in, like World Cups, are a higher level of difficulty. But the Olympics is just like, the title of Olympics is huge, obviously. So yeah, they're very proud. And I guess it's cool to, it's been a long journey to get here. You know, there's been a lot of ups and downs. And it's cool to finally say, like, I'm going to be an Olympian. Like, this is where this is all leading. And hopefully I can put down my best run. Yeah.
And he sure did. One of Ireland's best Winter Olympic performances of all time. Huge congratulations to Ben Lynch, finishing eighth in the Winter Olympic freeski halfpipe final. Moving on to rugby now, when Ireland smashed England by double scores in the Six Nations this afternoon. Dan Sheehan crossed over for the bonus point try in a 42-21 point hammering at Twickenham. And it's the biggest victory for the Irish side at the home of English rugby in the history of the game. And the victory puts Ireland top of the table for now, at least, with the Triple Crown still alive in that Six Nations. And here's Ireland's Stuart McCluskey, one of the man of the matches of the game, speaking to the media.
Yeah, I don't really know what to feel. It's so soon after the game, with obviously absolute elation. It was a great performance. I think we proved a lot of people wrong. We probably proved ourselves, more importantly, what we can do when we get stuff right.
How much was that a factor coming into this game, that you wanted to prove people wrong?
Probably more we wanted to prove to ourselves how good we are. Obviously, a lot of things didn't go right over the last two rounds. Some went well and we got it right. I thought we looked really good, but it just didn't really piece it all together. But I thought today we pieced a lot of what we wanted to do together, and I thought it was pretty good all round.
Yeah, talk us through you saving that try there near the end.
Yeah, as I said in the last interview, I probably ran back in hope more than expectation, and as I got closer, I was like, oh flip, I'm actually going to get him. But yeah, I was absolutely cooked after it. Now I have basically a body bag for the last 5 minutes, but thankfully the game was won.
Faz mentioned you upstairs and actually said, you know, that shows the fight that you all had for each other. That sort of epitomised it. Did you feel that out there today with your teammates?
I think we said that. That's just one of the things we said going into the day. It's like, be all in for everybody, be in every moment. But that's the first minute, the 8th minute. As long as we fight for each other, whatever the result was, we'd be happy.
One of the record scores here as well, like, that's pretty special. How special is this day in your career?
It's amazing. If someone was telling, most points scored we've ever scored against England at home, so amazing. Probably I didn't expect this our day, if I'm being pretty honest, but it was great. I think we put a lot of stuff together, as I said, and what a day.
And just finally for me, you said last week, 10 years on from your debut here, I think it's 10 years in a week from your debut. So you've come a long way.
Yeah, for me, probably didn't think I'd still be here in 10 years, no matter how well it went, and there's tough times in there, but yeah, I'm glad I stuck at it to get the experience, as I guess now.
Brilliant, thanks, Stuart.
Stuart, you're playing some unbelievable stuff. What do you put it down to this stage of your career?
Probably it's a strange one. My body feels really good, as it has done for a while, but when you play more, you get more experience. I've seen most of the things that can happen in rugby field now. I probably have played the most professional games, or close to the most professional games on our team, and I'm just confident in what I do. As long as my body stays in pretty good nick, I'm pretty confident I can do this for a while longer.
How good was it to hear the fields of Athenry kind of take over Twickenham in that kind of 65-70 minute?
Yeah, it was nice. I actually didn't realise there's so many Irish fans in here. It was class, it was great noise, and it's tough to really enjoy it when the game probably won. If you're watching at home, you think the game's won, but when you're actually playing, you're like, right, next moment, if we just get through this, there's no way they can win. And it was kind of that there until about 75 minutes.
You're offering so much to this team. I know a lot of people kind of, before you got back into the team, were putting you down as just like a bulldozing type of inside centre, but you're obviously a lot more than that.
Yeah, you see that a bit. Like, I think if anybody who actually watches
rugby over the last probably 5 or 6 years, you'd know that that's not my game. And especially when I play for Ulster, there's a lot of variety to it. So yeah, it's good to prove to those people I'm not that. I'm happy, but I think I knew myself I'm not that.
And just finally from me, what does it mean to you to wear the green jersey and to experience days like today?
Yes, class. Like, I think I said to myself a few years ago, like, I'm just going to enjoy every game I get from now on. I obviously haven't played as much as I would have liked over the years. Like, not to turn my nose up at how many caps I have, but I would love more. And I think at the start, I probably didn't enjoy it. I was just feeling the pressure. Now, I have to take every chance like I have and try to enjoy everything I do out here. And it's amazing to do it in that jersey, what it represents, and do it for the team that we have in there.
Great stuff there from Stuart McCluskey. This was the audio I was waiting for to come in. Let's hear now from Ireland manager Andy Farrell and captain Caelan Doris.
Oh, well, I don't know. I suppose we'll have a good think about that whilst we're reminiscing later on this evening. But it's a special day. Yeah, it's a special day. 100% is to come here and perform like that. You know, we'd obviously be delighted with that. But it's even more so than that for us. I thought the respect that the lads show for one another out there on the field was immense. The respect that they show for the jersey and what it meant to them, and the respect for the Irish people, really. To learn some lessons and grow as a group and as a team was the overriding feeling for me. Kieran?
Okay, what does a performance like that do for the belief in food?
Yeah, it's big. Like I spoke to you guys yesterday about Paris being a reference point, where hopefully we'll see a pretty steep incline in terms of performances, and I think this will now be a reference point that we look back on as a proper good performance that's given us a lot of belief. I've also mentioned to you guys that at the core of what we're doing in training, in camp, there has been belief still at the core, and I think you saw some of that through how we played today. But yeah, it was just like unbelievable atmosphere out there. You talk about inspiring the nation and getting the Irish people behind us, and hopefully that brought both the people here and at home a bit of joy today. So we definitely enjoyed it.
Thanks. Michael?
Yeah. Hi, Andy. Congratulations. Just maybe tell me the game itself, where was it won and lost? You needed to kind of dampen them down at the start, and I guess you achieved that.
Well, we got told we needed to dampen them down, and and rightly so, because we was here 2 years ago when England lost to Scotland, and they played outstandingly well and played some outstanding rugby on that day as well. So there's a lesson to be learned there for us, but more so the lesson from Paris and us growing as a group is the key. It's about doing the things that you promised each other that you were going to do, and be free, get out of your own way, and just let go and play the game that's in front of you, and have no distractions. And we did that, and what that accumulated to was some fantastic rugby. That was broken field stuff. We got them on the break. Made line breaks from deep in our own half, and you know, ground it out as well on their line. So it catered for a bit of everything, really. But I suppose, you know, the telling parts of Stu McCluskey chasing back Marcus there and being able to put him in touch just shows the fight, and also the Rob Balkin one on the far side just shows the fight and the spirit that these lads have got for one another and what it means to them.
Okay.
Andy, what would you say to the keyboard warriors
having
abused some of the players this week?
Have they still been abusing? I've not been reading, so apparently that's life, isn't it? It's not my life anyway. It's certainly not these lads' lives, so we tend to not take it on and just try and blow forward.
Andy, you mentioned McCluskey chasing back. Do you feel you should want it a bit more today at the time?
It looked like we was hunting people down throughout the game. You know, it's one thing going up with a good start and, you know, getting the bonus point there as far as four tries is concerned, but how we kicked chase, how we kept hunting down the breakdown, all that type of stuff, it shows that's a proper performance where there's no egos there. Everyone's just going for it together and trying to gain a little bit more respect of one another.
Andy, in terms of results, we're talking about the spine of teams, right? Do you feel that compared to Cardiff and the Italian game, that spine really came right to them, really vindicating your selections?
We've not been to Cardiff yet, but anyway, it's a Paris.
What was that?
Well, I thought he had his best game in a good while. I mean, he was immense in his carry. That's Kaelin at his best, isn't it? How he led from the front and got us over the game line was outstanding. But I mean, we could 100% have 2 minutes on every single person out there. I mean, Jamison and Stu McCluskey, Josh, Tygburn, Joe, you know, it'd be cruel to leave people out. But the growth in the team is with the likes of Rob Balakoon, Stu McCluskey dominating at this type of level in such a big game like that, Kean Prendergast coming on and showing that he belongs at this level, Nick Timoney coming on doing exactly the same. The respect that they have now got from the peers is pretty solid.
Ruth?
Andy, congratulations today. A lot's been made of the number 10 jersey recently. How pleased were you with Jack's performance and, you know, just the pressure he was under today?
Well, he was one of many who was very impressive of how they got over themselves, you know. We felt there was a bit of heavy legs or whatever, getting the feedback from the Paris game, and that's all because we're not fully in and fully committed and going for the game and being free in your own mind, and we've done a bit of work over the last couple of weeks to do that, and we had a good discussion on Wednesday there where everyone to a man was being honest with how they're going to attack the game, and they stood true to the word.
Darren?
Congrats. Does it feel better after a game like that? You've given Irish people a great day, like you saw how the crowd took over.
Honestly, yeah. It does. We just had the Taoiseach in the change rooms there, and we spoke as a group after that as well. It is special. It is special because, honestly, I said it to the lads, I didn't care whether we won or lost today, just whether we grew as a group, because we know where we want to go to, and it just so happens that to the people of Ireland that winning does matter, and it brings a bit of joy in everyone's face. So for them, I mean, the crowd, the people who turned up in the stadium, it was immense, and I hope everyone at home is just as proud as well.
Keen to finish up the live section?
Andy, how is James Lowe?
Didn't look too good, so it is what it is, but we said, didn't we, during the week that, you know, the balance of the squad as far as the subs and all that, it actually worked out pretty nicely in the end.
Just ask, do you allow yourself to dream out of potentially winning the Six Nations? I know it's not technically in your hands.
Do you know what? What will be, will be. We just need to move on after this. We've got a final week. We'll review, obviously, the start of the competition and seeing how much we've grown. The important part for us is to keep on doing that in the last 2 weeks. And what will be, really.
Yeah, great stuff there from Andy Farrell and Kaelin Doerr speaking to the media after Ireland's Six Nations win over England earlier on today, 42 points to 21. History made. Stay with us here on the Big Red Bench. Plenty to come in the second half.
The Big Red Bench.
Antrim 210, Cork 111. The final score from a wet and windy MTU Cork in Bishopstown saw Antrim deservedly overcome Cork to register a shock Centre Camogie National League Division 1A win on Saturday afternoon. Amid incessant rain and with the benefit of a strong wind in the opening half, Antrim led 0-8 to 0-5 at the short whistle. Nicole McAtamney's 4 points were instrumental in building that lead against a Cork side that struggled to match their opponent's intensity. A second half fight back saw Cork move 0-9 to 0-8 ahead before a frantic period delivered 3 goals. First, McAtamney was afforded too much time and space to wallop into the bottom corner and make it 1-8 to 0-9 in Antrim's favour. Cork substitute Orla Cahalan found the net before a mistake by Cork goalkeeper Emer Hurley saw Amy Ferris force the ball over the line and make it 2-8 to 1-9 with 10 minutes left. Nicole McAtamney's accuracy helped Antrim deservedly see out the remaining time and register a merited 2-10 to 1-11 victory. Delight for the Northerners, but huge disappointment for a Cork team that has 2 weeks to turn things around before travelling to Kilkenny on March 7th. For the Big Red Bench at MTU Cork, I'm Ger McCarthy.
Let's hear now from Cork manager Ger Manley.
Ger, first of all, commiserations, but you're a camogie man, you've been in the game a long time. Your impression first of Antrim and how they played today?
They were very committed, and I think they wanted more than our players, and I think that was the difference. We obviously used to be a bit of a battle, and give them their credit. They were the better team, I think, for a majority of the game. We had a few chances, but in all fairness, I think they deserve to win.
You said they wanted it more. Was there a few harsh words said afterwards about the realisation of being in intercounty camogie?
Don't have to tell that game, they know. And they can look themselves critically, I suppose, most of the time, probably too much at times because their standards are high. Sure, we know that's not good enough, and look, we know where we're at as well.
Yeah,
we've let new players in, and we always said the league's going to be tough this year because we've lost the players missing, and it's not an excuse for today, but look, today wasn't good enough. We had a few chances, they took theirs, and that was the difference.
You have a couple of weeks, so there's a bit of a break and there's a chance to put things right in the training pitch. I mean, that's a good news for you and for the players.
Yeah, I suppose it's an opportunity for the players, but where'd you go from that? It's going to be a lot of hard work next month or two to get us right for the championship. I think the league isn't there first. We probably knew that after the first game that we lost. So, I suppose we're trying to give players games, but the realisation is that it's a different level intercounty, no matter what team you're playing, to club level. And I think some of the girls realise now that after today, I suppose, and after Waterford the last day. But look, with a couple of positives, I suppose. Look, some of the newer girls, older criminal, I thought did quite well there for a bit, you know what I mean? And young McCallum did again, she'd been unlucky there for a goal near the end. So there's a few positives out of it.
There are positives. It's still very early in the year too, Ger. You're in transition and there are a lot of players missing, but you're going to want to get a response next day out.
We are, but we'll have probably the same team the next day. Do you know what I mean? Might have one or two back, but we're going to have the same team and we just have to get on with it. Unfortunately, I suppose, to give Antrim the credit, they got goals at the right time. You know, kept them moving. We started to pick up when we thought we might have kicked on, but look, it's up to the players, and I suppose that's our squad. We just have to get on with it. We'll get a few players back, hopefully. Might get one or two back for the Galway game, but look, I'd say it'll be in the league before we'll have anybody of, near it. Probably the six or seven that we need back to make the team a bit stronger, because it is hard for the girls coming in. Look, probably six new players playing the forward line, Barry and Murphy. It is tough for them.
Yeah. And just finally, look, it's a blow, it's a setback, but it isn't the end of the world either. I mean, a lot of Cork supporters would expect to see a stronger Cork team ready for the championship.
Oh yeah, we'll be. Well, look, look. They'll put it in. We have to put in ourselves, get a bit stronger. But we'll have it. We'll have players back. We might be any stronger, but we have to put in the work. We need a lot of work.
Yeah, appreciate you talking to us. Thanks very much.
Sounds good.
Let's hear now from Cork Camogie star Libby Coppinger.
Okay, Libby Coppinger, a big disappointment for Cork losing to Antrim today, but I know you're a Camogie person. I know how much you love the game, and you want to say something about Antrim first.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's great to see teams, getting their chance in Division 1 and obviously putting in a serious performance. So obviously we're disappointed, but you have to take your hat off to them because, look, they brought everything today. And I suppose deserved winners on the day, unfortunately.
A lot of things went wrong today, but there are things that can be rectified on the training pitch. Just as disappointing as it is, at least you have games and time to work these out.
Yeah, look, I suppose we have a weekend off now next week, so we can put in a good 2 weeks. And, I think I said last week we've plenty to work on and we probably have more things now after today. But you know what, there's time to do it. So as long as we knuckle down and get after those little things, please God, it'll make the difference the next day.
You've seen good times and bad times with Cork Camogie before, so you know as a player with your experience what's involved to turn things around. It's time to pass on that experience maybe to the younger players, that a lot of them are new to intercounty Camogie and they have to learn fast.
Yeah, look, there's no time for anyone around here. You have to kind of jump straight into it, and we've learned that the first two games. So plenty to learn, and yeah, look, I suppose we just have to come together as a group now and learn together and build from here.
How important is having that extra week?
Yeah, it's massive. Like that, we can get a good, I suppose it was a quick turnaround. You can only do a little bit of analysis, and like that early season, it's hard to get any games. So realistically, it's only our second game this year. There's no excuse or anything like that, but we just have to kind of take it with a pinch of salt and go again from here.
And just finally, look, it's February. It's early in the year. This is as gut wrenching as this loss is. It's the start of the year. There is time to turn things around, but you've got to go and do it now.
Yeah, exactly. There's no talking anymore. We just have to get out and do it. Yeah, it's February, but it's not what you want to be doing in February either. So look, tough day today. But look, hats off to Antrim, and we go again.
Appreciate the talk.
And let's also hear lastly now from Antrim manager Elaine Douts.
Elaine, firstly, congratulations, because not only did Antrim win today, but you deserve to win today. Is that the most heartening thing from you and your management team?
Yeah, I mean, you know yourself, like coming down here and to Cork against this team, like I suppose like we're realistic about the challenge that it would be. We just said that we would focus on not scoreline, but on what our targets were for the game. Work rate was absolutely crucial, and you can see out there today, like the hooks, the blocks, the tackles, yeah. The tracking was a big thing for us after last week. I actually think that we probably just outworked Cork today. Yeah.
Considering the conditions, that must give you even greater heart going forward, because today was not easy with the wind and the heavy pitch. The pitch was in good condition considering.
Oh, it's very,
But from your point of view, so much to build on. Whatever about the victory, but it's that full 60 plus minute performance.
If you go back to last week, we competed West Tipperary until maybe the last 5 minutes of each half.
Yeah.
Right, so we knew that, you know, you can't afford to concede 1-3 in the last 5 minutes of each half. So I suppose that's something we've talked about. We haven't had a lot of time to work on it, but it was a focus for us this week. It was about the 60 minutes. 30 minutes and the 30 minutes for us. I'm very, very pleased with that there today as well.
A few nerves on the sideline there towards injury time.
I can barely speak because my heart still hasn't settled properly. But look, you know, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. This is a very depleted Cork team. We know that. There are, what, 3 starts from last year. But still, look, I am just delighted to be able to come down here and put in the performance that we did. I thought the girls were outstanding from start to finish.
And without pandering, this was a deserved win because you stuck in there and you competed with a team that is well used to Division 1. I mean, that's got to give you huge heart going into the remaining games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you can see, Cork, they're more fluid than us. Their movement, their running, their running game is absolutely fantastic. But that's what we have to make this about for us, who just aren't at that point yet. It'll take a long time to get there. For us, then, what we have to do is just outwork other teams and never give up. And we keep the hooks. It's all those tiny, tiny, tiny things, but they all add up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I'm absolutely delighted. I mean, I would say the next game will be tough. It's Waterford, and it's at home. But I think, like, Waterford, they always go out full strength and say they're gunning for this league. So it could be a different ball game, but like we'll, well, listen, we'll just keep working at it. Yeah.
Just finally, that long journey back up home is going to be a pleasing one, and deservedly so. Looking ahead, though, what's the biggest benefit for you and your players coming out of the National League this year? The win is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a huge boost. It's going to create national headlines. But competing and getting ready for the Intermediate Championship, I assume that's what you want to get the most out of this league, playing the likes of Cork, Waterford and Galway.
Oh, absolutely. Like somebody said to me, yous are going to get tanked. Absolutely tanked. Like, that's just demoralising for your team. That is a realistic, it's a reality. It's a possibility. I'm just like, I don't care, and I've said to these girls, I don't care if it's 16 points or 66 points. Well, you're being tested against the best teams in Ireland, the best players in Ireland. You're being challenged. What we learned from these games is absolutely ridiculous, and the things that we can work on, and I think it just sets us up in a really fantastic position to go into the Intermediate Championship. So no, I am absolutely delighted to be here.
Yeah, congratulations and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to Antrim there on a well-deserved win in the Camogie. The 2026 Munster LGFA Under-16 A and B Championships, they got underway this afternoon with Cork travelling up to Adair in Limerick, to take on Limerick rather today. Ahead of the busy provincial campaign, the Cork Under-16 A head coach Yanis O'Connell and captain Orla O'Brien spoke to the Big Red Bench about what's in store for the Rebels over the coming months.
Now, here on the Big Red Bench, we're delighted to be joined by the Cork LGFA Under-16A head coach and captain ahead of the beginning of the 2026 Munster LGFA Championships, which kick off this weekend. Delighted to be joined by Under-16A head coach Yanis O'Connell. Yanis, how are you?
I'm very good, Jor. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too as well. And we're also joined by the team captain from the St. Fal's Club, Orla O'Brien. Orla, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Orla, we'll start with you. Thanks, first of all, for taking the time to speak to us ahead of what's a very busy time for the under-16s. When did you find out that you were going to be the captain of this team for the coming season, and what was that moment like for you?
So I suppose Yanis pulled me aside after training one morning down at the farm. He told me that he would like me to be captain for the year. So it was definitely, I was over the moon and very proud and happy to be told I was going to be captain for the year. And it just made me more excited for the year to come.
It's a lovely honour, irrespective of your age or irrespective of what grade, to be a Cork inter-county captain. How did the news go down at home and at the St. Val's Club?
Sure, like any family, my family were very proud of me, of course. It is a big commitment, but I'm very ready for that, and they were just over the moon for me as well. And everyone in the club was very supportive. They were all like so happy for me, so it was great.
It certainly is. You just mentioned the commitment there. I think it's worth mentioning just for an under 16 inter-county player in 2026. Just what is the commitment like? Because you've got school, you've got Cork, you've got your club very shortly and things. So there's an awful lot happening at this particular time of the year. What's it like? And like, what's, you know, in terms of training and matches? I mean, how much of a commitment are we talking about?
Like, there is a big commitment, I suppose. But like, if you're enjoying it, like, it doesn't seem like... like a huge commitment. Like, if you enjoy just doing it, it's just like, yeah, I don't know, it's a lovely thing to do anyway.
And being captain, I suppose, is just an additional thing for you. It's a very pro thing, but you know, you got to lead this group. Are they an easy group to lead? Are they well behaved? Do they listen to their captain?
Yeah, they're a great bunch of girls. They're all very respectful, and we all have, yeah, we're all great friends. So it's, yeah, lovely team to be captain of.
Spoken like a true captain, Yanis, and you've chosen well there, because she can talk about her team and talk about her sport. But from your point of view and the management team coming in this year to an under-16A setup, when did this process begin for ye, and roughly how many players did you look at before you settled on your panel?
I suppose this process started back in November. It was when we had the trials. But even before that, there was divisional matches. The four divisions play each other on the round robin stage. So myself and the management team would have been out watching all those games to get a good idea of who the players were when they were coming into trials. A lot of them we would have known already. But I suppose we kicked off the trials then through November. There was about 185, maybe 190 players that would have trialed. That would have been the four panels from each division, from the under 15 development and the girls that represented Cork at under 14 grade last year. So we brought them all in throughout the course of November. To be fair, the girls, the standard was excellent. It was really, really high, as you'd expect from Cork, because football is really, really popular here in Cork. We worked it through. We got there at the end of November, and we were panel picked first week of December. So it was great to get going after that long process.
Yeah, it's a long process, but it's a necessary one, Yanis, as you said, because there's so many girls trying to get on these panels. We haven't even mentioned John Callan, head of the under-16B panel. So there's two Cork under-16 panels kicking off this weekend in their Munster Championship campaign. It's refreshing to see it. But from your point of view as a management team, there's so much competition for places just to get onto the panel before you even get settled on a team. Is it a relief now to have those panels ready to go and just matches to, you know, and settle on a team rather than worrying about narrowing down that squad?
No, you're spot on, Jor. It was very, very difficult to pick the panel at 13 initially, right? Because the quality is so high. I mean, along with the girls that are of the age, we had the under 14s coming up, which was an All Ireland with an under 14 team from last year. But even in our panel of 30, I think there's seven players that haven't played with Cork before. So their development has shone through. I suppose it just gives hope to girls that haven't been picked at under 14 that there's an opportunity if they do the divisional stuff and play the divisional games and get spotted and they get the opportunity to play with Cork, you know? But I suppose to have 60 girls representing Cork across the A and B panel this year is fantastic for them, for their families, for their development. So it's great, really, you know? I'll be out there supporting the Bees after we play or before we play, so I'll be looking forward to watching them too.
Excellent stuff. And Orla, just on that, there's obviously huge competition to get on these panels, but now that you're on it and you've got the Munster Championship coming up, is this, you know, the intensity of training obviously has picked up. How much are you looking forward to this year's Munster Championship? Because it's not going to be easy. It's a very, very tough grade.
Yeah, well, I suppose on Championship you're always looking forward to it. It can be a bit nerve-wracking at times, but we've done a lot of training and yeah, the training's been great. So hopefully we get on well and yeah, our hard work pays off.
And does it help the fact that when you've got 30 on a panel, you know, the likes for any training session, you know, from a club point of view as well, some nights you don't have the numbers. When you have the numbers, you can do a lot more. And has it been intense? You know, as the captain, obviously, you've got that extra responsibility, but has it been intense now just to make sure you keep your place in the team?
Yeah, it has been intense. Like, it has been getting more intense, like, throughout the year. But I think we all just, like, drive each other on. And, yeah, I suppose, like, yeah, when you're just competing with the other girls, like, you want to be doing, like, well at training and stuff. But, yeah, we all, like, just work together. So, yeah, the intensity is good at training anyway, yeah.
Sounds like it. Cork begin their under-16 A-Munster campaign in Limerick on Saturday in Adair with a 3:30 p.m. throw-in. That's followed by a trip to Waterford the following weekend. Cork return to provincial action for the visit of Clare March 21st, and their final two round robin clashes could be amongst their toughest, with a trip to Kerry in a repeat of last year's Munster final, and then hosting Tipperary on April the 4th with the top two in the standings contesting a Munster under 16A decider in Mallow on April 19th. And should Cork be successful, they'll enter the All-Ireland under 16A semi-finals, which are scheduled for June, and the final itself hopefully scheduled for July. Yanis, you're up as the head coach of under 16 grade this year. The past two seasons have been very, very tough for the Cork under 16As because they've met Kerry. It's been very, very close. Without talking about Kerry specifically, this grade has gotten much more tough. Just like the senior grade, Waterford are improving, Tipperary improving, and there's no cliche alert, but there's no easy game when it comes to these provincial championships now.
No, Joe, you're spot on. There's no easy game. And it's not just Kerry this year. Waterford are going to be very strong. Tipperary, you never get an easy game against Tipperary. Limerick and Clare are improving each year as well. Clare got to the Munster under 14A final last year, as an example. So we know the challenge that lies ahead of us. But the quality of player in our panel is extremely high. It's something we've said to the girls over the last number of weeks. For us to pick a starting 15 has been very difficult. You know, we've got such a diverse ability level within the club, within the panel. Different types of players can play different types of games, so it's a challenge for us picking the team. We're just trying to pick a team to go and win a game each time. It's really challenging. The last 2 years under 16A finals have been really, really tough on Cork. They've come out the wrong side of a coin flip. So it's a mountain we want to climb this year. And we believe we can do it. We believe in ourselves. I believe in the panel. I trust every single one of them. We're just after a block of challenge games, which have gone well for us. We're very happy with the progress. And we just hope to bring that momentum into the Limerick game now this Saturday.
Excellent stuff. And as you said, this weekend on Saturday in Adair, it all begins with Cork under 16As and Cork under 16Bs, who begin their Munster LGFA under 16A and under 16B provincial championships. We wish you well over the coming weeks and months, and we here on the Big Red Bench will be keeping a close eye on how things go and hopefully having a chat with you as things progress. But for now, here on the Big Red Bench, a really thank you to the under 16A head coach Yanis O'Connell and the team captain Orla O'Brien. Thanks for joining us here on the bench, and the very best of luck.
Thanks, sir.
And the Cork LGFA seniors continue their Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 campaign away to Munster rivals Kerry in Tralee tomorrow with a 2 p.m. throw-in. And the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy caught up with star Katie Quirk to preview Cork's showdown.
Now on Sunday, February 22nd, in the Lidl LGFA National Football League Division 1, it is a Munster derby as it's Cork versus Kerry in Austin Stock Park down in Tralee with a 2 o'clock throw-in. With that in mind, we're thrilled to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork senior footballer and in-form forward from the Bride Rovers Club, Katie Quirk. Katie, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Good. Thanks, man, for having me, Ger.
Good to talk to you again. The story so far, your last-minute injury time free got us a draw with Kildare. We beat Galway in Parky Ring, where you scored 5 points in each of those games, and you weighed in with 2 more points in a very impressive win up in Crossmaglen last Sunday away to Armagh. It has been a very encouraging start. What's the vibe like inside the dressing room heading into this big game?
Yeah, I think we're really happy kind of where we are. We said after the last game, if you told us after our first 3 games that we were going to have 2 wins and a draw on the board, like, we would have grabbed that with 2 hands. So I think we're in a good spot now at the minute. Like, there's loads to be working on after each game. Like, there's, you know, loads of little things to be looking at. But no, we'll learn from each game and, like, that, try to bring it in now to our final couple of league games as well.
Yeah, because you know all about playing in Division 2 and getting out of Division 2, how difficult that was and what a tough league that is. To get back up to Division 1 is very important for the progression of this panel, and to do it and now to get such a positive start. You could even see it the last day after the Galway game, just the happiness and the, I suppose, the momentum, a little bit of momentum. It's still very early in the year, as you said, but you're in a good place. But playing Division 1 football, how important is that, Katie, not just for yourselves, the more experienced players, but the younger players on the panel?
Yeah, I think last year, like, being in Division 2, like, there were tough games. Like, I don't think we won any of our games by more than a couple of points. Like, it was a tough one to get out of. And obviously getting to the league final, like, not even having won that, like, it is such a hard competition. So I think coming into, like, Division 1, obviously, like, it's another step up again. So, like, going back a couple of weeks, we didn't really know what way it was going to go for us. But I think we've done really well, like, each of our games that we've had. Like, it's had to come to that. We'd have to dig up, like, for that draw or the two wins. Like, we're kind of coming from behind a few points. So, like, it is kind of learning those things. And, like, as you said, kind of for a few of us who have been there for a couple of years, as well as the younger girls as well, like, they're huge things to be trying to learn from and implement then for championship as well.
And added to all of that, Katie, the new rules that are being trialled in the National League this year. From a forwards perspective, you seem to be doing all right. You've scored 12 points in three games. You've been contributing as well a lot more, I think, in the build-up to scores. You're very active. What's your interpretation, first of all? How have you found the new rules? And the three up, how much has that helped you and helped Cork?
Yeah, I think they're a lot to get used to. And even in the first couple of, like, training sessions that we had, that they were trying to be introduced, and even the first couple of practice games, they were so different. And even, like, last weekend, we did end up breaching one of the three up as well. So, like, there is, like, you don't be thinking about them actively during games, and it's only when something like that happens that you're, like, reminded of it again. I think they're very good, and, like, I watched a few of the games now that have been on TGCAR and streamed and things as well, and, like, it is making, I think, it more exciting to watch and to play as well. Like, I would be in favour of them being kept, and I know it is only a trial basis at the minute, but I think it is, like, it's adding to the game. And you can see even with the men, like, last year, I think it was very good to watch, and even this year again, like, I find some of their games, like, have kind of gone up another level as well. So I do think it is very good, like, that it does take a bit of getting used to and trying to remember them as well. But it is a good challenge for us anyway.
It sounds as well from a forwards, and you're in the forwards union, that it's suiting you. It's suiting this Cork team, because, with respect, I don't think you're the biggest physical team in the senior grade, but there's a lot of younger players and lighter players and smaller players. The fact that you've got to be able to move the ball fast, and the solo and go rule, which has been really popular as well, you seem to adapt it to it slowly, as you said, but do you see bigger benefits down the line if these rules are kept for the Cork team and the way it's set up?
Yeah, I think so. Like, as you said, we're not the, like, physically biggest team, or probably fastest, strongest team that is in Division 1 or that we will be coming across. So I think they are kind of suiting us in that sense as well. Like, it is a bit of a quicker game. And even, like, there is a lot more kind of overall mileage, I'd say, up for games as well. So, like, physically it is tougher, but I think it is, we're kind of getting on well with them like that. I think the more you probably get used to them, the quicker you will be doing them, and, like, you won't have to take that second to think about it. So it'll be interesting now to see, all right, in another couple of weeks, I suppose, when we're kind of more into the swing of them and like that, I suppose, when the weather gets nicer and it comes around to championship as well, like, that does kind of bring another element to it as well. So it'll be an interesting couple of weeks, I'd say, to see how they fare out.
It certainly will. It's always interesting with the Cork senior team to see how they're getting on. Good news for you as well this year. Sarah Murphy and Leah Hallahan, fellow club members from Bride Rovers. Fantastic for the club to have three seniors at inter-county senior level this year, and a nice boost for those two players to be able to work and train and, I suppose, progress with you.
Yeah, definitely. It's great having, like, a good contingent, and even just the support from the club, I suppose, coming up to games. And I know last year it was, we'd an underage team played even at halftime, and little things like that. It is nice for the club, and just kind of a bit of recognition as well. So yeah, having the two girls there as well, like, they're, you know, getting on, like,
really, really well, and like they're both UCC as well, and they're having a good year. So, you know, I suppose there's plenty of games there to be played, and hopefully when club season comes around again, it'll be a positive for us.
Indeed, we'll talk about the club season when that comes around, as you mentioned. Now, yeah. Last year, Cork lost 113 to 10 points to Kerry in their opening TG Carr Munster Championship game, which was in Clitheroe. That was April. Then the following June at Parky Cueve, Super Valley Parky Cueve, Sheriff O'Shea and Danielle O'Leary were on fire as Kerry won 5-7 to 2-9 in the TG Carr All-Ireland Championship group stages. You know Kerry very well, Katie, at this stage. There's no surprises. Same for them against you. But going down to Austin Stack Park on Sunday, this is not going to be easy. I mean, that's putting it mildly. But the fact is, you're on a decent run of form and you're coming into the game with very little to lose. How have the preparations been heading into this game? Because this is now like a real proper test of where you are.
Yeah, like we're under no delusion there. Like Kerry are a super outfit. And like sure that we play them so many times each year. Like it is, you know, the players like so well and like what they're capable of and everything. And especially now, I suppose, going down to Kerry as well. Like we had them at home twice last year. So going down and for them to get a home venue as well, like it is, will be an extremely tough task.